Okay, good afternoon, ladies. If we could just stop talking. I do usually work with children, so I'm not afraid to name and shame. Welcome to the seminar, Getting to Grips with God's Word. If that's not where you think you should be, please feel free to leave now and we won't say anything about you. Okay. My name's Leonie Dryden. As you can tell by my accent, I'm not a Midlander. I'm not really a Northerner either. I'm much further north than that. I'm originally from Dundee in Scotland. But I have worked and lived in Burton-on-Trent, and I now work and live in Sileby, which is near Loughborough. So I think I almost count as a Northerner. Today, this is an interactive seminar. I hope you read that. Hence, you will be taking part. Some of you are maybe not used to being in small groups. Please don't worry about it. Please, those around, those who are nervous, please be kind to them. Please work together. We're all at the same stage. We're all going to be helping each other. So please don't worry that I'm going to put you... It's just easier to work in small groups than to stay in one big group. So I'm going to ask you to do that now, because that will involve a certain amount of shuffling around. So if you can just sort of form yourself into groups of maybe six or seven where you are, you might want to turn your chairs around, you might just want to move a little bit, but if you can get yourselves into groups. Just get yourself into a group. Okay, you will also find there are some either coloured pencils or pens and some plain paper. If you can just put them in the middle of your group just now, and we'll come to those in a minute. They were all at this end of the room, so you might need to share them out now that you've put your groups together. I've just been asked, all the sheets are the same, whether you've got yellow, red, blue or white. So don't worry if you don't have a yellow one. If you do want a particular colour, why don't you swap with someone next to you? They're all the same, they're just on different colours. Okay, are we all ready now that we're sorted out? Okay, this seminar is called Getting to Grips with God's Word. So it's all about how we understand God's Word and a way of doing that. Just as Kathleen's been saying, sometimes we snack on the Bible. Our tendency is just to open the Bible, read a verse or two, and expect to be blown away by what we read. The Bible is God's Word. It is living. But sometimes it takes more than just opening and hoping for the best. So today we're going to work together and work out a way of understanding the Bible. I think one of the reasons why the Bible is hard sometimes to understand is because it is a divine book and a human book. Words spoken by God, therefore always true and relevant, but words written down in real space and time, which is not our time, but a long time ago. And so sometimes we do need to do a little bit of thinking to work out what the Bible is about. I've given you that verse, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And that reminds us that it is God's eternal word that's always true, that always speaks to us. Because God's character doesn't change, and the human heart doesn't change, just our geography and our history and our place in history that changes. But we're going to work on this together. But the first thing we're going to do is humble our hearts and pray, because that's always how we should approach the Bible and approach speaking to God. So let me pray for us, and then I'll explain what we're going to do next. Dear Father God, thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that your words never fail. They are always true, and they always call us to follow you and be in a relationship with you. Father, forgive us when we are your rebellious children and we forget about your word. Please help us today as we together help each other to understand your word better. Amen. So today we're going to look at the book of Philemon, and you should have that in two parallel passages on your white piece of paper, okay? I've chosen the book of Philemon for us to look at today, firstly because it's short and it means we might actually get through it, secondly because it's not all that well known, unless at this point someone's going to jump up and tell me they've just finished a PhD on it. No, relief, that's good. And thirdly because it's God's word and it's got something to say to us today. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the passage out loud from the left-hand column on the page. Then I want each of you to read it to yourself quietly, what we call quiet reading, in your head. And then I want someone in your group to read the right-hand passage. Okay? So we're going to have read it three times. We'll try and do that as speedily as we can while still reading and making sense of it. And then I want you to go straight into, on your little sheet, you've got questions, okay? There's lots of questions. If just round your group you say, right, you do the first three, I'll do the next three, you do the next three, and I'll give you 10 minutes. So we'll have reading time, and then we'll have a look at the questions, okay? Once you've read through the passage three times, the questions won't be as difficult, because you'll suddenly know what some of the answers are. Some of the questions are a bit more involved, so create a thumbnail sketch of the main characters. You might just give that question to one person. But if we can do that, and I'll give you time to do that, and then we'll have a little bit of feedback. So I'm going to read, then we're going to do quiet reading, and then someone in your group's going to read, and then we're going to do questions, and then we'll have some feedback. Ready? Here we go then. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You've got about another minute on the questions. Okay, let's just finished saying what we're saying, and let's have some feedback. Now, I did ask for a roving mic, but I haven't got one. So when folk are giving feedback, can you stick your hand up if you've got an answer? And then if everyone can just be really quiet when someone's answering a question so that we can hear their answer. I will repeat the answer if I hear it, because we're recording this session, okay? So just, if we can just be quiet when someone else is talking, it'll just really help. We'll not go through all the questions, but hopefully reading it through a couple of times helped to get you familiar with it. And these questions are the kind of questions you could ask of any passage, just to start thinking about where is it in the Bible, what does it say, what kind of writing it is, all those kind of things. Did anyone come up with a rough timeline of events in the passage? Someone over here? Yeah, brilliant. So it comes in the whole Bible story, it's after Jesus has died and risen again, and Paul's been spreading the gospel, but he's now in prison for spreading the gospel, and he's writing his letter. So that just gives us, you know, because if we'd picked an Old Testament book, it would have been way back here. And if we think of this as Genesis and this the other end, you know, we need to work out where we are on the timeline. But we're past the big marking point, which is Jesus' death and resurrection, where the other side of that, the gospel is spreading, but Paul's now in prison. Great. Anyone want to say anything about the main characters? Don't be shy. You've all been talking. I heard you. Yeah, right at the back, shout out loud, stand up. Brilliant, thank you very much. Hope you all heard that. Yeah. Okay. So that is what some of that I think is previous knowledge, not just picked up from today, but that's the kind of thing. You could just sit down, if you sat down yourself, and I just wrote myself a little thing just using the verses from Philemon, that you it's not linear in the letter, because obviously in the letter Paul's not writing in a linear fashion, but you could put together something like this. Philemon was converted through Paul's ministry, and we get that from verse 19. Onesimus was Philemon's household slave, verse 16. Onesimus had done a runner, verses 15 and 18. He'd perhaps stolen from Philemon as well, verses 18 and 19. Onesimus somehow meets up with Paul and is converted, verse 10. He's been serving Paul and the gospel in prison alongside Paul, verses 11 and 13, which I think is there to show that Onesimus is not just a flash in the pan. He's not just one of these people who says he's been converted and isn't really. He is, because he's been helping Paul in prison. And actually, that was a really dangerous thing to do, to be seen to help someone like Paul in prison. But as our friend said, Paul has now come to the point, we're not told why, but for some reason he's now sending Onesimus back. And this letter, well, we'll come to that in a minute. And also the end of the letter, Paul hopes for release. We got that in verse 22. So it's good to sit down, whatever bit of the Bible you're reading, read it through a couple of times, and then sit down and try and answer some questions like this, just to say, well, what's actually happening in the story? What's going on here? Now, did anyone get an idea? Sometimes in a letter, the writer will tell us explicitly why he's writing. Sometimes it's not explicit, but we can work it out. Why is Paul writing this letter? Did anyone work that one out? Because in those days, you didn't sit down to write just for the sake of it. You would write with intention. Any ideas? Yeah, some sort of reference, yeah. That is key to it, isn't it? That actually this letter is going back with Onesimus. And I think just getting that in your head suddenly makes you look at the letter in a whole different light. This letter's not being sent back and then a couple of months later Onesimus is going to go back. This Onesimus would turn up at the door with this little scroll in his hand. Philemon opens the door and there's his slave who'd run away however long before, standing there with a scroll saying, this is from Paul, he says you've got to read it. Okay? So have that in your mind as you read through, because that starts to help us really see what's going on here and begin to understand what's being asked of people, why it's hard, why Paul does what he does, why he says what he says. Just have that picture in your mind of Onesimus standing at the door with a scroll, knocking, and the look on Philemon's face when he opens the door and sees Onesimus standing there with a scroll in his hand. I guess another thing about the letter is it's an appeal, isn't it? Paul appeals. It's that kind of, it's not a telling off letter like Galatians. It's an appeal that he appeals to him. So that's how I would start to look at a passage. And you don't have to do that all in one day. I've got here my notebook from reading Philemon over about 3 months, and I just started writing little scribbly notes. If you want, you can come and have a look at it, but it is scribbly notes. But I spent, you know, a couple of months sort of reading through Philemon, just scribbling down bits and pieces, drawing little diagrams of what was happening. And that's the other thing, you don't have to open the Bible and do it all now. You know, that's what the psalmist says. He talks about meditating on God's word. So that means it's okay if you just read a verse and then go off and take your dog for a walk and think about it. That's what I do. My poor dog gets his feet walked off sometimes. But, you can go and have a think about what you've just read. It doesn't all have to come together at the one point. What we're going to do now is you need your coloured pencils, which should be somewhere nearby. And I want you just to quickly go through the passage and highlight words or ideas or phrases that appear more than once. Now, obviously, I don't mean words like the and, and maybe not even, you know, words like Jesus Christ, unless they're part of a bigger phrase that's repeated. But just try and have a look and see if you can find words or phrases. There's a few more pencils here if anyone else needs one. Words or phrases that are repeated, and also linking words. So words such as because, therefore, yet, for, so, things like that. Okay, so words, phrases, or ideas that are repeated, and then linking words. So I'll give you about 5 minutes to do that, and then we'll have some more feedback. Off you go. Okay, let's have some feedback. If you've spotted a word or a phrase or an idea that repeats, In the letter, can you stick your hand in the air and shout out loud? Yeah, over here. Yeah, lots of that, isn't there? Sort of fellow brother kind of words. Anything else? Yeah, I appeal to you. I think we get that at least twice, verses 9 and 10. Yeah. Yeah. Faith, yeah. Faith and love particularly come together. Okay, in verses 5, 6, and 7, we get a pairing of faith and love together, which is quite key to things as well. Oh. Prayer, yeah. We get prayer at the beginning. Yeah, prison, imprisoned, in chains, things like that comes up almost all the way throughout the letter, doesn't it? Anything else? Yep, Lord Jesus Christ comes up. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? In 12, 15, and 17, we have sending and receiving and welcoming, sort of a clump of words there. There's a hand at the back. Yeah, love and heart, isn't it? Refreshing your heart. I'm sending back to you my heart. Things like that. Grace, yeah, we've got grace as well. Okay, so that just helps you to suddenly see, okay, what might the author's intention be? Once you start to see what gets repeated, it just helps you begin to think, right, what is this letter about? Because that's what we're trying to work out. Not, firstly, what does it say to me, but what was this written for in the first place? It does have something to say to me, but what was it saying in the first place? Let's have a quick game of linking words bingo, okay? Don't tell the committee I was playing bingo with you, okay? I'm going to read out the linking word, and you just need to shout out which verse it's in, okay? Here we go. Because, therefore, yet, for, 15, and so. Full house, well done. Okay, so those kind of things help us to begin to, we've looked at the passage and got our bearings and found out who the characters are and what the main story is. Then we try and work out what is the theme of the letter, and then linking words help us work out the flow of things, particularly with Paul when he's writing a letter or has is trying to put together a theological argument. The linking words are really key, because they help us link things together. Also at this point, I'm sort of writing down, this is another thing, sometimes you read through something and you think, that just doesn't make sense, or I understand that sentence, but I don't understand how it fits with that. That's okay. And actually sometimes when you get the feeling of, I don't see how that fits together, try and write down what doesn't fit together, because that's often a big clue to the meaning. If you don't get something, don't worry about it, just say, actually, let me write that down and I'll come back to that. And when I first started looking at this, one thing that really puzzled, well, there was two things. First of all, the letter seemed to be a very personal letter to Philemon, but it was addressed to the whole church, wasn't it? To Philemon and the church in your house. Why does he write a personal letter and then address it to the whole church was one of my questions. And then also, I'd read, firstly, in the ESV, which is the left-hand column, and I just didn't get why, or just didn't understand the prayer and what came after it, because of the accordingly in verse 8, thank you. Obviously the prayer, what comes after the prayer is closely linked to the prayer, but Paul seemed to be praying about sharing his faith, and then he went on to talk about his appeal for Onesimus, and I couldn't work it out. That's why it's always good to have a look at a parallel translation, which is what we've got on the right-hand column, because if you look in the prayer, what is translated as sharing of your faith in the right-hand column is the partnership with us in faith, and that makes a whole lot more sense of what comes next, of the appeal that he makes is all about partnership. Because I don't know if you noticed, it wasn't sort of a repeated word, but if you look in verses 13, 17, 18, and 19, there's sort of a repeated idea. It doesn't always use the same words, but can anyone spot sort of what the repeated idea is in those verses? Yeah, so he uses Philemon, that's part of it. But what else? That's one example of what's going on. Well, it's sort of that idea, isn't it? It's taking your place, isn't it? It's swapping places kind of idea. Paul says, if he owes you anything, I'll pay for it. And that sort of idea, or Philemon's, Onesimus is here in your place. It's that idea of, which again makes a bit more sense when we come to see what the whole letter is about. So, keeping that in mind, also keeping in mind the linking words that we've just highlighted, see if you can, in your groups, work out, try and just write down maybe a couple of sentences that explain what's going on here. Okay? So try and summarize, and particularly use the linking words to help you. So you might start by saying, Paul prays X for Philemon. I'll give you a start, okay? That's how to start. Paul prays X for Philemon, and then just see if you can summarize what goes on in the rest of the letter, just in one or two sentences, or even bullet points. Doesn't have to be fully formed grammatical sentences, okay? Just try in your head, and I know it's hard, but condense down. If you had to, just imagine you go home and whoever's at home, your husband or children or dog or whoever, and says, what did you learn about Philemon today? What would you say in three sentences from what you know so far? And really use your linking words because they will help you. Okay, you've got 5 minutes. Okay, ladies, let's see what you've come up with. Who's willing to give us a try of their summary? Now, don't worry, because when you're doing this at home yourself, you don't always get it right the first time, and there's not always a right answer. It's the kind of thing that you need to jot down. Do we need to put our hands on our heads to be quiet? No, okay. It's the kind of thing that is a work in progress. So you might scribble down what you think the summary is about, and then once you've read it a few more times, you might think, oh, I might just tweak that and change that. So don't think, I've got to put my hand up and come out with the perfect answer, okay? Just give it a try, because it will help other people to hear what you've come up with. I think there was a hand over here. Yep. No, I think that is a good start to summarising what Philemon's about. We're all in this together, definitely. Anyone else got anything different to that or to build on that? Oh, yeah, right at the back. Shout out loud. Brilliant. Yeah, I'll just repeat that. So we're all in this together, and then we've added on to that, and the reason we're all in this together is because of Christ, because we're in Christ. And that's absolutely right. Now, in Philemon, Paul is not explicit with his theology, whereas if we'd read other of Paul's letters, he's much more, you know, he will sort of state the doctrine and then explain what it means to be in Christ and how we come to be in Christ. That's not his purpose here, but he's obviously building on what he knows these people already know. But that's absolutely right. We're all in this together because of what Christ has done for us. And that's almost why, you know, at the beginning when he prays, he gives thanks for Philemon's faith and love. And if you read through Paul's New Testament letters, he often uses that faith and love as a hallmark of a true Christian. So he's almost said in the beginning, "Dear Paul, I give thanks to God for you because of your faith and love, i.e. because I know you're really a Christian. And now I'm going to pray for you." What does he pray? Can someone sum up what he prays for Philemon? Right at the back, shout really loud. Brilliant, yeah. Okay, so that's exactly. He prays that Paul will basically put his faith and love into action. And that phrase that was made more clear in the right-hand translation, this partnership of... Wait a minute, I've just lost my bit of paper. What's it say? Your partnership with us in the faith. So that's the real key. He's talking about this partnership in faith. And you're exactly right. The fact that Onesimus has become a Christian, and that, remember that idea we said before of, you know, you accept me and I can take your place. It's that idea, not of atonement, but actually because we're all Christians, actually we're all the same now. Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon, we're all exactly the same now because we're all in Christ. And in that way, Philemon, you cannot send Onesimus away when he comes back to you because he's now a brother in Christ. Just that's why Paul says, welcome him as you would welcome me, because he says he is now the same as me to you, Philemon, because he's now in Christ. Now, obviously, at this point, Philemon doesn't know what's become of an, or we don't know, but we think he doesn't know what's become of Onesimus. So it'll be a bit of a surprise when he lands on his doorstep, scroll in hand, and he reads through and finds out he's been converted. He's been working with Paul. Fantastic. So that's another thing to do, is to summarize, try and summarize where you've got to. And then I guess the next thing is, so we're dying to say is, well, what about me? What about me? We've worked out what the Bible says, but what does this mean for me? And I've just got a little heading there that says, tell the dog to wait. I've got a small dog. Every time I go in the kitchen, I'm immediately followed by the patter of tiny paws. And he's there waiting, because if there's food, it must be for him. And sometimes we're a bit like that with the Bible. You know, it must be for me. Yes, it does speak to us, but we need to do all those things we've done first to get to the point of saying, right, what did it say then to those people? I've given you a little table that looks a bit like that. And that just shows us, this column is Old Testament and New Testament. And it just shows us, if we'd been reading an Old Testament book, how we then apply that to us, how we find ourselves. Because if we read a book, do we, you know, we might think, well, am I David? Am I Goliath? Am I the army? Okay, so we have to, that little table helps us work out where we are. We're the people of God. So that's Israel in the Old Testament, church in the New Testament. So in this letter, we're like the church that's been written to, but I guess we're also, in some ways, we're not like Paul in that he's an apostle and that was a special job for that only 13 people were asked to do. But in other ways, we're just like Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon, in that God's speaking to people who are Christians, speaking to someone who's been sinned against, Philemon, but someone who's become a Christian, perhaps the most, apart from Paul, most unlikely person to become a Christian, a slave who'd done a runner, and yet he's now going back to his master. So let's just see it. You've got 1 minute to write down what this means for us. How does this apply to us? Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, can someone give me something they've written down. You got something here? Forgiveness. Yeah, it's something to do with forgiveness. Anything else? Sacrificial love. Oh, yeah, over there. Okay, love one another and encourage one another in Christ. So it's something about welcoming, it might be welcoming back people or welcoming people for the first time who've become Christians, who've maybe, that's somehow there's been a bad relationship before. Something like that. But welcoming back or welcoming those new Christians, whatever their background, something along those lines. Sorry that's been so rushed. It's hard to do in an hour, but I hope that's at least given you a little flavour of how you might take apart a passage. Can I just recommend two books? I have written these on the back of your sheets, but if you want to do more of what we've been doing today, and obviously for different kinds of writing in the Bible, so poetry or history or wisdom literature, or you know, there's lots of different kinds of writing, and we've just gone through a letter today. But if you want to learn how to, what kind of questions to ask, what to do to work out what other books of the Bible are saying, it is similar. You could use some of the questions we've got, but this book, it is called Dig Deeper: Tools to Unearth the Bible Treasure by Nigel Bynum and Andrew Sach. I would really recommend this book because it will take you through the kind of questions to ask. It takes you through, some of the things we've done, linking words and what did the author mean. But it goes through the different kinds of literature in the Bible. It also has worked examples, and then it has little bits of work for you to do on your own. And also in the back, it has recommendations of lots of other books that you would find helpful. But if you're just going to buy one book, this one, Digging Deeper, I have put it on your thing. And the other one would be this one, which is called How to Read the Bible Book by Book. Goes through every book in the Bible, tells you about its history, its geography, not in a dull way, but just so that you could open that. If you start to read a book, you could open it and work out where you are in the Bible story, who the characters are, what the main events are, who wrote the book and things like that. But this one, if you're only going to buy one, I would buy this one, and you'll find that a real help. Thank you for working hard, ladies. Time for lunch.